What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Dustin in New Jersey, and Dustin, just kind of take it away.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, if you think about it, they can use this virus to bash China, which they are, you know?
Yes.
And if you look, they all will come together to bash Russia, but they're all come together to bash China, you know? But Italy's not taking the bait because China brought them equipment, right? Russia brought them equipment, and we're not bringing anybody any equipment. The Russia brought us equipment because we ain't got no equipment to bring anybody else. We don't have anything stockpiled, really. You know, we had very small, short supplies because all our stockpiles went off to war. You know, we put it into the war machine. See, that's the problem, Mike. People don't want to hear that, okay? I'm going to lay it out to your listener. Your country's an empire. You got an oligarchy. I said it before. Your government chose to play empire and neglect us, the American people, and the country. Rotting infrastructure. No infrastructure, okay? Do you actually think your country's going to be able to make ventilators the amount China can? You're never going to happen. You will not outproduce China at this point in history. You won't. It's just a joke if you think you can, you know? But we had the opportunity, like Trump has the opportunity to bring the troops home right now while I'm speaking, right? Like at this emergency moment in time, he could bring the troops home, get rid of the empire, and make America great again, right? That's what he wanted. You cannot have America and an empire. America was never an empire. It was a constitutional republic, okay? The two just can't coexist. But unfortunately, Mike, like you said, I think Trump has gone along with the empire. You know, like he gave over the foreign policy to Mike Pompeo, which he hired. Wilbur Ross for the Federal Reserve, right, which he hired. He's in charge of the Federal Reserve, right, Wilbur Ross. And Larry Kudlow's his economic person or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jared Kushner and Mike Pence, aren't they in charge of, like, the coronavirus response?
Yes.
You know, so he has given over all these responsibilities to these people. But he hired these people. So the buck stops with him. You know, but I mean, we're never going to get back to where we were. Mike, we weren't going to get back to where we were anyway, but do you think we're going to be... I hate to break this tip to everybody, but we ain't getting out of this before April 30th. If you think we're going to, because a lot of these states like Iowa, if you look at that New York Times article with the traffic, people ain't locking down over there. Even on the New York subway, there's people a lot of... I mean, it's just, it's not happening unless Trump did a national lockdown and flatten the curve across the country and then bring it back up by giving people face masks and gloves in those work sectors to produce things that we need that we had already. Because, Mike, you know, we have actually stepped back in history. We're not moving forward at all.
No.
Like, there's no cars being produced, right? They're trying to make ventilators and masks, but what? There's no cars being produced, so we actually move back. You know, we're not, you know, the manufacturing hasn't come back because we actually stopped manufacturing other things, right? So it's like,
yes,
nothing's going on. I mean, we're in trouble. And I mean, I just laugh at some of these states, because I know I'm rambling, that they have exemptions for golfing and florists and church gatherings still, Louisiana. Like, what don't they understand? I don't understand why these governors... See, Mike, that's also a problem with the difference between Republicans and Democrats. They're both stupid. You know, the Democrats with the illegal aliens and Republicans with some of them just aren't going along with this. You know, and I feel sorry for Florida and Louisiana because Florida's got a new coronavirus every 72 seconds, a positive or something like that, what I read, which is nuts. You know, and I just see us going to Italy, Spain, and, you know, you see what's going on in the U.K. now. Like, that's where... I don't think it's going to slow down. I really don't, because if they slow down the cases in on the East Coast and the West Coast, what about the middle of the country? How can you open the country when you got the middle of the country getting exposed now? You can't then. You got to do it all at once. I don't understand why. Who's running this thing? I mean, Trump needs to take charge. He's the commander-in-chief. Why isn't he on Saturday night when everybody's home? Saturday night he should have came out on the TV, Mike, like, and have a 9 o'clock thing on every channel. I don't understand this. I just, for a common sense people, just to sit and think about this for a second. It's not happening. You know, and that's all I got to say, Mike. I know I'm rambling. I'm just pissed off, man. I'm like, people are dying here, you know. Well, I mean, people are dying.
I don't blame you one bit.
I mean, unless Boris Johnson's going to make a miraculous recovery tomorrow. You know, it's kind of odd. The Queen came on yesterday, right?
Yes.
And then Boris Johnson got moved into probably yesterday also. Because usually it's a day ahead to keep it quiet. You know, for the UK tabloids or whatever, but yeah, and then I'm like, I don't like Boris Johnson because I think it's the same oligarchy running the UK, but I do wish him to get well and stuff, and I hope it's just not a publicity ploy because, you know, Prince Charles also was tested positive also, wasn't he?
Yes.
You know, so, but Mike, everybody stay safe, and I got to disagree with the last caller. I think Walmart, what they did is smart, because when I went to Walmart, everybody was going in and out in the aisles. Most of the people don't have masks and gloves and bumping into each other. I think that was a smart move. Might be wrong, but
yeah,
I think it's smart.
Yeah, our local Walmart's done the same thing.
Mike, have a good night.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Joe in Tennessee. Joe, hello. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, it's interesting how you got Jim from New York saying that Trump is declaring medical martial law, and then you have Dustin from New Jersey who says Trump's not doing enough. He's letting the states do whatever they want. And I think Trump is kind of riding the middle of the ground on both of them. Personally, I'm in Tennessee, my county. We have 6 cases. It's been that way for a week. And I don't know why we have to be locked down. You know, I can see them locking down New York and New Jersey. So I think Trump's doing the right thing in his management style and letting the governors of the local municipalities and the you know, that's kind of the way I think government should operate. And as the federal government, you know, lock down different flights and maintain control over the federal, parts of power that you would control, you know, help the states mm-hmm. out with FEMA and such. So it's kind of like a no-win situation. You got the hysterics of, like, Dustin, who, you know, wants everybody locked down, and I don't agree with that. I don't see why people in Montana have to be locked down, Dustin. You know, I don't I understand it's probably a good idea for you to be locked down in New Jersey because there are a lot of cases there. There's a lot of Chinese and, you know, same way in New York and in the suburbs of New York. But I don't think upstate New York should be locked down. You know, there's areas. I think it should go by the counties in a way because, like I said, my county has 6 cases. The county next to me has 1. You know, so why should we be all locked down when it's unnecessary? And I'm still yet to see how real serious this is. I mean, yeah, it's killing people, but the statistics, you know, I read an article today, this lady saying that her father, they say he died of COVID, and he didn't. He had a lot of other physical issues. So why are they saying he died of this when he didn't? Because they thought it was a stain on their family. So I just think that, you know, this is a no-win situation, really, for Trump when you get these nitpickers. But I think overall he's doing a pretty good job of having this, you know, thrown at him. I think that my complaint with Trump in this whole thing is that he didn't arrest the deep state traitors and coup plotters, and therefore they've lived the plot another day. And they're going to do more destruction to this country. They might be behind this to begin with. I don't know. I'm just saying if he would have... You know, had them. Why is Barr letting all these enemies of America and Trump run around and Durham and all that? While let them plot and make them Brennan making new plots, and I just can't believe that he hasn't. You know, that's my fault with Trump and this whole coronavirus thing. Is that He hasn't been tough enough on his enemies and before, and allowing not being tough on his enemies is why we have, why they're plotting and destroying this country as we speak. I mean, the fact that Hillary Clinton is even conceptual as a president now, he's been president for over three years. He should have destroyed her by now. And by the way, I was reading about that captain, that Crozier, the poser, I call him. And I wanted to comment. I called last Friday, and you got an email about it from a guy in the Navy, and he said because he was in the Navy, he's an expert. Well, I'm an honorably discharged naval officer as a lieutenant, and I assume that the Navy person who sent you that email was probably enlisted because he doesn't understand anything about chain of command and how to act as an officer. Now, this man, you know, a lot of you in particular also talk about Hillary Clinton with her unsecured email account. Well, this captain sent this letter on an unsecured email account to 20 or 30 people. You know, this is a captain of an aircraft carrier. The other thing, the admiral, the task force, sometimes they stay on different boats. Usually there's a cruiser with a command ship, but he was actually on that aircraft carrier, the admiral. Right down he could have walked 30 feet down the hall and talked to this admiral before sending this stupid letter off that basically violated operational security. Now, when you violate operational security...
Okay, now, hang on a second. Okay, Joe, let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, the letter did go to his immediate supervisors in the chain of command. And he did CC some other people, but there was nothing in that letter that was classified. And that's the difference between him and Hillary's situation. Hillary was using an unsecured email server to send classified information. There's nothing classified about saying, hey, we've got a bunch of sick people on this aircraft carrier.
Well, now this gets back to when you have a conversation at that level, the status of your vessel's crew and their sickness can be considered a classified thing because it speaks towards the combat readiness of your command, and therefore it is classified and it should be classified, because what he did is he commented on the status of his vessel through unclassified channels that could be used or informed of an enemy of the condition of our vessel, which is where he violated the operational security. That's why he should lose his security clearance and lose his command.
Joe, first of all, Crozier has he's come down with the virus himself, if you had not heard.
Well, maybe that made his mind weak.
Do you know for a fact that messages about the health of the crew are classified? Don't give me should be classified. Do you know for a fact that it was classified?
I would assume it would be, but I don't know for
a
fact.
No, don't assume. Don't assume.
Well, I would say that it should be classified. Yeah, I mean, I don't know for a fact, but the guy lost his job. He was not court-martialed, but he was relieved of a command because they considered it a violation of the security code. That's why he lost his command, because he basically broke the chain of command and he released information to the public.
Hey, Joe, how did he break the chain of command if the first names on his email were the next superior officers in the chain of command?
Because he broadened it. He took a letter that was supposed to be about his vessel to the admiral. If he would have just left it to the admiral, that's the chain of command. By sending it, well, it's like saying if you send an email to me and then send it to 30 other people, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, but if you're my superior officer, then I've respected the chain of command.
But you can't. No, you have to have a. You know, your chain of command is individual to that man. If you're going to have a communication with an admiral, that's you're supposed to keep that between you and him. You're not supposed to broadcast it to the world.
Okay, well, let me ask you another hypothetical. Okay, let's say that I'm the captain and you're the admiral, and I'm concerned about sailors on my ship coming down ill. Don't you think I would CC a doctor, a naval medical officer?
I have to read the letter and how it goes. I mean, I know that the guy's he violated chain of command by not going to the admiral. The way I read it, he didn't go to the admiral about this letter.
He directed the letter. He directed the letter to the next officer on the chain of command. The chain of command was included.
So he sent this letter to the admiral, and then he CC'd like 20 people beyond the admiral, is what you're saying.
And somebody leaked it to the media.
That's almost worse. That's almost worse, because you're not. It's like you're being an aide to the president, and you say, "Oh, Mr. President, this is the way this is going," and you CC 80 other people. That's not the way you're supposed to do it.
Well,
I mean, chain of command,
Joe?
I'm chief engineer, and I have a second engineer come to me and tell me,
Joe, let me ask you another question, okay? Isn't the person who leaked the letter the one who broke the chain of command?
No, because he should have never been in a position to leak that letter. Let me give you an example. I'm chief engineer, and my first engineer tells me, "Oh, that feed pump's broken, chief. You know, we got to get it worked on." And he tells me this. He sends me an email, you know, because we'll do that. The guy in the engine room can send the chief. And then he CCs 10 different people in the company, including the captain, that the feed pump's broken and needs to be repaired. That's not the way you operate. I do it. The chief engineer gets it from the subordinate, and then I take it to the captain. I take it to the port engineer. I notify the company. Any third or first or second that would do something like that, and even if he CC'd me and then put the captain and pasted all these other persons, I know that he's pissed off, and he's trying to get me in trouble, and he's violating the chain of command. So I would look at him like a little scumbag for doing that.
Okay, well, let me give you another hypothetical, since we're going into hypotheticals right now. What if our captain had gone to the admiral face-to-face and said, "We've got sick people on the ship," and the admiral had said, "Keep it quiet." And maybe the captain didn't feel that that was a good thing to be doing. And so he wanted to force the issue. In that case,
I would
the captain
say
is
that
a hero.
Well, I would say that the way he handled it, if that's the case, is still wrong by going outside the chain and allowing his messages to get out amongst to be reported
okay,
in the newspaper.
You tell
the
fact me. That, Joe, the
fact
you
that
tell me.
Got off the ship
Joe?
Is bad.
Joe?
Yeah.
For a moment, let's say you're the captain. You're that captain. You're seeing people around you come down sick. You know there's some kind of a rampant infection among your crew whom you are responsible for, and you've got it yourself, okay? You're sick with it as well. You go to the admiral and you say, you know, "We've got a real problem on the ship." And the admiral, who is not proof for making bad decisions just because he's an admiral, he says, "Just keep it quiet and live with it," okay? What would you do? Would you just let your crew go on getting sick?
I would probably resign in protest, and then I would send letters. In other words, there's a way to handle this that maintains the chain of command. But what he did by going off the boat and allowing this to make it into the San Francisco newspapers where his friends are,
He did not allow that. He did not allow the letter to be put in the San Francisco Chronicle. Somebody else
did.
He
informed
20
different people. Right, but he informed 20 different people, probably knowing. It's just like Jim Comey, how he used to leak stuff about Trump. And he'd send it to his lawyer friend in Manhattan because he knew the lawyer would leak it to the New York Times. I think this guy's a grandstander myself, and I'd like to know his politics personally. And it'll come out. It'll drip out. We're going to find out about this guy's politics sooner or later, and I'll bet you money that there's more to this story, and we're going to find it out. But for now, he violated the chain of command, and he leaked. He basically
How did he violate the chain of command if the letter he sent was addressed to the chain of command?
Because you don't include anybody else when you're dealing with your superior officer. You don't broaden it.
Where
to
is
20
the naval regulation
people.
That says that? Give me the naval regulation that says you're not allowed to CC other people on a letter to the chain of command.
I'd have to look it up. It's in particular.
All right, Look that up first. We got to let you go. We'll be right back after these few words. ¶¶
The reviews for Xtendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Xtendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Xtendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Xtendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're already getting emails about Joe's phone call. One says the captain must have always been sending such messages to all the CCs. And then another one says, Joe seems to think the chain of command somehow consists of two links only. Pitiful chain. We also have callers who apparently want to follow up on that subject, and let's try and get down to them as quickly as we can. Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Well, I didn't call about Joe's call, but I'm going to make a comment anyway about that. In the many, many, many cases in which I've worked as an expert witness, in oil and gas cases, I've worked with law firms, and we've always had a strict chain of command. And anytime I communicated with the law firm, I always communicated strictly according to what was specified. And if I had sent an email to the chief attorney and CC'd anybody else outside of that, I'm toast. And so, I understand that perhaps the captain might have had his concerns, he should have played out his options and then either resigned his commission and reported it elsewhere. But there are consequences for breaking a chain of command. People who are not included or shouldn't be included in the chain of command have no business receiving communications. Now, I'm not speaking for somebody who's ever worked in the military. I've not been in the military, but I think I understand what's at play here.
Well, I think this one email speaks to that, saying that maybe the captain was in the habit of CCing a whole bunch of people on his own ship with these communications. And again, Joe couldn't cite a Navy regulation that says that you can't CC other people on an email that goes to the next up in the chain of command. And that's one of the problems with this whole issue, is too many people are making assumptions about what's going on rather than dealing with the few hard facts that we actually have.
I understand. And I don't know what the regulations are there, but I suspect knowing the military, as I do from my father, who was in the military, you know, that there is a very strict, limitations on whom you can communicate with in a chain of command. So, I can't comment beyond that. From my experience dealing in legal issues, there are very strict and harsh consequences for doing so, and I don't want to. I never violated those. About the issue with this lockdown, some of your callers are claiming that Trump supporters are willingly accepting this lockdown, and because it's Trump. No, we're not. In fact, the many people I've talked with are not happy at all about this. And from what I can gather, that there's really an undercurrent of a seething undercurrent of anger right now.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board. And I think that they've got about one chance to get this right. Because if they don't, then I think you're going to see this thing erupt into a revolution that they haven't expected here. I'm not happy about this. My other friends who are Trump supporters are not happy about this. We're sitting back and we're waiting and we're watching. And our thought simply is that get it right quickly, because you've got one chance. And if you don't get it right the first time, you don't get a second chance. I think that the people who are calling the shots here think that they're going to drag this out on the one hand, or on the other hand, let us all go back to life as usual and then come back later and claim, well, we need to do this again. They're wrong, because that's when you'll find politicians hanging from lampposts. We're tired of this stuff. I think we've been measured by these deep staters to find out how much tyranny we will accept, and they're watching us to find out who in this population is willing and able to put up with this nonsense. And I think that they've miscalculated. Because as I said, there's an undercurrent of anger that they've not counted on. And if they think that they're going to tamp this down with more and more orders to extend this another 2 weeks, or to come back later on and say, well, we need to do this again, they're wrong. It won't work. I think there'll be a lot of dead politicians.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that, but I can feel the anger out there, and I'm seeing it in people around here, and this is a very Republican part of the country. So I'm in agreement. Yeah, I don't think Trump supporters are willing to accept martial law just because it's underneath Trump, and I said that to the caller.
Oh, no. I don't know one Trump supporter is willing to accept this at all. Martial law is not acceptable under any circumstances. This is not a martial law situation. As I said, what I see here is an effort by so-called deep staters to measure us to see how much tyranny we're willing and able to accept. I don't think Trump's part of that. I don't think he wants to clamp down and impose martial law. But I think there are elements of the United States government and governments outside the United States who are trying to do this. Who are looking at this as an exercise to determine what they can get away with. And I hope if that's what they're doing, they're proven wrong. And if that's what they're doing, then I hope that they end up hanging from lampposts, as I said.
All right, Kelly. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We got to take another break for commercials. The phone lines are just loaded up here, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're still getting emails about Joe's phone call. It says, if a captain sees an iceberg, should he not CC to all the other captains with ships near his, or should he only send it to the admiral? Good point. Let's see. I can't believe how absolutely belligerent and overpoweringly pushy and domineering that caller Joe has been over this whole captain chain of command story lately. I honestly wonder if he's one of those astroturfers who hired to call up talk radio shows and post crud all over the online forums to push narratives for powerful interests. The guy literally doesn't seem to ever stop to take a breath, and his whole MO seems to be to logjam as much of your show as he can with relentless narrative battering. Call me suspicious. I remember back when those Navy warships were ramming those cargo ships and tanker ships, and we had a bunch of astroturfers out there saying it was a deliberate attack. You know, they took these, you know, multi-million dollar ships with their multi-million dollar cargoes, and they deliberately rammed the Navy ships. And of course, it turned out the exact opposite was true. So, yeah, there's a lot of astroturfing on behalf of the United States Navy. Back to the phones here. We're going to go to Paul in New Jersey. Aloha, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. You know, Michael, I'm going to indict the Patriot Right conspiracy theorists out there because I think they're so enamored with Trump, they're failing the public, and they're not doing their duty of telling the truth. And it seems, you know, the only conspiracy that they entertain now is the ongoing narrative that the deep state is the cause for all our problems. And Donald Trump is just, whatever, a 4D genius, chess genius, or is he being duped by the deep staters? There's something contradictory in their narrative. But I would like to put forth the fact that, or suggest that I think we should change the name of the Wuhan biovirus and call it the Fort Detrick biovirus, because there's just too many coincidental things out there to make any conspiracy theory-loving person just drool over the potential and the suggestion that it looks like that the so-called Wuhan virus that the Trump lovers say is totally Chinese in an attempt to drum up Chinese hatred. Why couldn't it have come from Fort Detrick? Well, here's a coincidence. It's funny that they closed the Fort Detrick biolab in August of 2019. To me, that sounds like good cover. Then all of a sudden, some soldiers from Fort Detrick go out to the Chinese, the Wuhan Military World Games in October in Wuhan, and all of a sudden they come ill with some form of pneumonia. We also see what was going on with these telegraphed events, where you had the event 201, and another event called the Crimson Contagion, all held by the elite, and all saying that there was a coming flu that was going to happen, pandemic. You know, Fauci talked about it several years ago, that there was probably going to be a flu coming within Trump's presidency. So it seems like there were all these things working together, forecasting a flu epidemic. And then all of a sudden, of course, it starts happening in December. And of course, you know, Trump and his administration, who he assigned everybody in the HHS and in the CDC, he appointed all those people and the Surgeon General. And they have their meetings, and they saw what was going on. I'm sure Gina Haspel and Pompeo were privy to those meetings and knew what was going on, because they were probably two of the main characters, sinister characters, in this conspiracy theory I'm weaving in front of you. And so then, what did you have to do? Now, if you wanted to divide the United States with China, what do you do? Well, one way would be is you trick Trump. Maybe Trump really is an innocent dupe. And to think, oh, it started in China, while it really was brought over there by the United States Armed Forces. And they too, could have been dupes. Now that it's breaking out in China, Trump, you know, he did want, or say he wanted a quarantine, but in February there were still about 40,000 Chinese citizens still came in the month of February from China at that time, bringing in the Wuhan flu, or should I say again, the Fort Detrick flu. And then all of a sudden, what do we have now? We have American people on the right and throughout the country hating China. And now we have China as the new hated enemy of the United States. And now we see potentially, although I doubt we're ever going to see it, you know, some repatriation of American manufacturing, like 3M, and that they're going to actually come back to the United States. It'll gin up the war machine, gin up, you know, enrollment in the military now that you have so many people soon to be unemployed. Right? And again, yeah. Donald Trump escapes is like, oh, I was just innocent, and I was tricked by the guys who I appointed, like at the CDC and HHS. What do I know? I'm a businessman. And so I don't get it why the guys on the Patriot right aren't doing their job and being somewhat dispassionate and objective in analysis of this, because if this happened under Obama, they would be screaming their heads off. Obama's in on it. He let it in on purpose. And, of course, as most of everybody else, nobody's even mentioning, and I'm not mentioning the Zionists, but the Zionists could be behind this. Because ultimately it comes down to the Zionists don't control China. China's getting too powerful. They need to knock them down a peg. And also the Americans are a little too free, they're a little too cocky, and they got to get knocked down a peg. And, of course, to have the two nations, of Gentile nations, fight it out amongst themselves. That makes any Zionist happy, is when Gentiles fight it out. There's always money to be made. And so I just think that there's a lot of chance, you know, and fodder out there on this topic. And I still believe this is more apt to be a Fort Detrick biolab thing and a flu than anything that came out of a Chinese wet market or out of a the Chinese biolab.
Well, it's an interesting theory, and, you know, we're hearing all this talk about how at least some of the components of this virus were actually sold to China by labs here in the United States and in Canada. I'm still of the opinion this was an accidental release, that nobody intended for this to happen, but it did get out, you know, late last year. And, I mean, it was only a matter of time before it came to the United States.
Yeah, and can I run past? I have one alternate theory for if it happened in China.
Yes.
Right? Now, here you got the low-paid Chinese worker. He's down throwing the bags of the biohazard garments into the incinerator, right?
Yes.
One of the bags breaks open, and out pops a really nice glove, right? Then he looks a little further. Oh, that's a really nice set of gloves. I'm not going to throw that in the incinerator. I'm going to take them home and sell it at the market. Right?
Well, that's an interesting theory. We got a confirmation today about the story that there was an accident at that Wuhan lab involving one of the bats that they were harvesting virus from, and that one of the workers got splashed with blood. And they self-quarantined for 14 days, but apparently that wasn't enough.
But it seems like the very fact that we closed down Fort Detrick Biolab tells you something, that this is not as though it only happens in China. You know,
it doesn't only happen in China. And the United States has got bioweapons labs literally all over the world.
Right. And I would like to see Trump, and I doubt it would ever happen, especially with Bill Barr being what he is. But it would be great to see them basically send in a group and do an inventory and, you know, check the Fort Detrick records of how they've handled their research and what they've come up with. But, of course, that would be all sealed. Americans would never get the truth out of that. And that's part of the problem of not having a transparent government. The government's going to have all these secret biolabs and all the rest, and it's not transparent. Then, of course, people like myself are going to entertain conspiracy theories, and that's what the governments get when they're not truthful. On that note, thank you, Michael.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul, for the phone call. We're going to go over to Bob in Colorado. Aloha, Bob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. It's been quite a while since I talked to you. Usually, when you're talking about police issues, I usually call you because I'm a retired police officer of 25 years. But in reference to this Navy stuff, one thing I would ask you to consider is when you get on a certain topic, to ask people to call in on that topic. And we were going from the military, from this commander who sent out CC copies to everybody. I am military. I was 4 years. I ended up in a similar situation. I don't know if something changed with the military. I never heard of anything with when you have confidential information that you CC it to anybody. And it should have been up to the admiral, if he had an admiral on board, to CC that to anybody who should have been CC'd to. But in that same scenario, which I was in, I was in a situation where I was trying to get something situated on our Coast Guard base, and it was we had a majority that voted that we needed to have a place to go and have drinks and stuff, and the captain of the base said absolutely not. So, what did I do? And of course, all my when you get evaluated, all my evaluations were always like 3.8, 3.9, 4.0. And I went to the Admiral of the 8th Coast Guard District, and he got a hold of the captain and said we had every right. And, of course, it came down on me. So maybe he went to the to the Admiral, told him what was going on. He said, don't worry about it. And that's when he CC'd it. So I don't know. We don't know. We don't see the records. But before we judge anybody, I think there might have been a situation where he tried, it didn't work, so he figured, you know what, screw this. And that's why all the sailors got behind him. It's only a thought, Mike, and I'll listen to you off air.
Well, you know, the gentleman who sent it, or the person who sent in the one about the iceberg, raises a point. What if, and again, I don't like to get into hypotheticals here because everybody's guessing about this stuff, but what if the CCs on this letter were other ship captains within the Navy, and this captain was sounding the alarm, hey, there's something on our ships that are making people sick, be on the lookout for it, inform your medical officer. And again, we don't know who leaked this to the San Francisco Chronicle. Could have even just been a message technician who saw it, you know, whiz by on his way to deliver it to one of the CCs. We don't really know there. But I agree there are certain circumstances where CCs would be perfectly appropriate. Again, we don't know that the information that was in this email was considered confidential or classified. I mean, Joe wants us to assume that it should be, but that's not the same thing as actually being classified. So I think that the captain did the right thing. He may have handled it wrongly. I think a letter of reprimand in his folder would have been adequate. I think he was made an example of because the whole military right now is trying to keep a lid on how badly they're infected with all of their soldiers and sailors and air persons. And I think that's what they wanted to do, was make an example. If you go public, if you allow it to go public, we will end your career. Okay, so let's go to Douglas in Tennessee. Aloha, Douglas. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
This is Dennis from Florida.
Oh, this is Dennis. Okay, hi, Dennis. How you doing?
Hi. I had heard the conversation you had with Joe from Tennessee a couple of days ago that he was interested in firsthand experience with Ground Zero, and I was with the fire department. I came on in 1979 in the sixth busiest truck company in the United States, and I see my fair share of high-rise fires and never saw a building come down. I spoke to my brother the other night. We got into an interesting discussion because he's way out there in left field. He's reading stuff by QAnon, which I'm an old daily poller, you know? And
yes.
You look at, unless it, you know, you've got to have stuff verified, and that seems way off the chart. But I told my brother, I said, look at Building 7, and that's your answer right there. So that's what I have to say to Joe from Tennessee. Look at Building 7. Yeah, I believe that our government had a big hand in that whole thing. I never seen a building come down, or buildings come down in a high-rise fire like that, okay? That's my go on it. As far as the whole thing with this chain of command, yeah, I was in it. We had a chain of command, okay? I'll give you a real quick, interesting story. The young firefighter, we called on the apparatus 4 one morning, muster up, the commissioner's coming down. My friend Ernie was going to get decorated for actions taken at a fire, okay? And after he was pinned a decoration by the fire commissioner, right, he turned to the captain and he said, Cap, have you asked the commissioner about that matter? And the commissioner looked at the captain, and a captain is like a god. The fire captain, the house captain, is the god, you know? And
yeah.
He tried to go through chain of command by asking the captain of the house. Normally it goes to the lieutenant, and the lieutenant gives it to the captain, okay? And since he had worked with the captain and they mentioned it verbally, the captain said, and I've seen this happen before, verbally, I'll check with the commissioner. Well, the commissioner turned to the captain and said, what's this about? He said, oh, well, this fellow wanted to know if he could wear an earring while he's on duty. And the commissioner turned around and he said, I don't see any problem. Why not? All right. Thank you very much, Commissioner. All right. And so the permission was granted. Now, that broke the chain of command to an extent. But what happened really in that instance is we know that the captain did not go to the commissioner, did not ask permission because he had his own axe to grind. Now, we don't know whether there was CCs on these letters. The jury is still out. We don't know what letters went to who. We don't have any proof of anything yet, but we do know one thing. When that man left the ship, he got a standing ovation and cheers from all of his men because he took care of his men. And that was one of the things that I was known for. I used to tell captains, my men would jump on a bomb because I retired as a lieutenant. If my guys would jump on a bomb for me, would they do the same for you? That's what it comes down to. We don't have the jury is still out. We don't know yet. But he may have had to do what he did. All right? That's just my take on it, Mike.
Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. Thanks an awful lot, Dennis.
Public Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late-night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today, and we're going to go to Dan in Washington State. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'll be quick. I know the show's almost over. Just wanted to have a silver lining on the cloud here. I was mad that the only thing the Republicans did was do a corporate tax cut, you know, the first 2 years. And And then they turn around and say how great the economy's doing, but it has nothing to do with Main Street. You know, the economy was basically went up because when the corporations got their tax cut, they bring all the money back from overseas that they were basically tax dodging, right? So they bring all their money, they bring all their money back, and then boom, the market goes down, and it just all disappears. So I think that's a silver lining on the cloud, in my view. I think it's kind of funny. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, anybody who knew the market was going to take this dump, they were in a great position. First of all, the short sellers made out like bandits. And second of all, yeah, people could have dumped their stock, moved their money out someplace like those members of Congress. And now that the market is bottoming, they can buy back in at a really good price. Which
well,
is called insider
all the corporations,
trading, I might add.
Yeah, right. You know, and that's not good. But I think it's good that these companies lose all that money. I think it's a silver lining. I kind of want to see the market just implode. I don't think it has much to do with Main Street anymore. And the 401k scheme, hopefully this will teach people, but it won't. People are dumb, so I don't feel bad if people lose their part of their 401k. But I think it's a silver lining, so that, you know, they bring it back and then it all just disappears right there. So anyway, that's all I had. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dan. We're going to let you go. Somebody just mailed me the military chain of command definition from Wikipedia. And it says, in general, military personnel give orders only to those directly below them in the chain of command and receive orders only from those directly above them. A service member who has difficulty executing a duty or order and appeals for relief directly to an officer above his immediate commander in the chain of command is likely to be disciplined for not respecting the chain of command. Similarly, an officer is usually expected to give orders only to his or her direct subordinates, even if only to pass an order down to another service member lower in the chain of command than said subordinate. Well, this all seems tied up with the giving and receiving of commands. And this email sent by Captain Crozier was an information message saying, we have illnesses on board the ship. What are we going to do about it? So chain of command, as I read this Wikipedia definition, chain of command has to do with the passing of commands back and forth. And it does make sense, and I do agree with it. But again, there's nothing in here that says the passing of information has to follow the chain of command itself. In any event, Captain Crozier's immediate supervisor was the admiral. He didn't go above the admiral. He just CC'd a bunch of people. And for all we know, there are people he CC'd on a regular basis for the passing of information related to the running of the ship. Okay, there's the music. Time for me to get out of here and get something useful done with the rest of the day. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of RBN. Please spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We really need your help. And we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.